every critical comment we receive, it takes nine affirming comments to even out the negative effect.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Halleck. I'm here with Pastor Mark Jobe, Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church, and we are in a series called Joy is a Choice. Pastor Mark, you're taking us through the book of Philippians. Today we're in chapter 2, verse 19, and I just love this passage and I love this message. You talk about the difference between people who energize and people who drain, and I've got to say, I really want to be somebody who has a positive impact, not a negative one, and yet there are choices to be made. That doesn't happen by itself.
Absolutely. And Joshua, let me say, in my book, you're an energizer, not a drainer.
Thank you,
Pastor
Mark.
Go on record, just so people know that. You know, the moment you said there are people who drain and people who energize, immediately our listeners, they had images come to their mind.
I'm seeing faces.
They're seeing faces of drainers and energizers. And I want to say this, that we all go through times maybe that we are somewhat on the energizer or drainer side. But I'm talking about if we live consistently in the rail of being a drainer or an energizer, God wants to turn that around. I believe that this passage really points to who Timothy was and Epaphroditus. And in this passage, we learn that there are people that are going to suck the life out of you, and Christians or non-Christians that can suck the life out of you. But there are some of us, when we choose to do that, that we can become builders rather than breakers. And that's the first thing that we're going to see. We can follow in this place where we see our needs bigger than anybody else's needs in life.
Yeah, what a great challenge for us today. I cannot wait to get into this message, and many of you feel the same way. So we're going to go right there now. We're in Philippians chapter 2, verse 19 through 30, talking about the difference between people who energize and people who drain.
Now, I've repeated it till I'm blue in the face by now, but by this time, 6 weeks into this series, you should know. You should be able to say this almost by osmosis. You should know that your attitude is your responsibility or choice. So let's say it all together. My attitude is my responsibility. Why don't we say it together? One, two, three. My attitude is my responsibility. Yes. Now, you may have to apologize to your wife because on the way here you said, hey, I'm all upset because of you. And now you have to say, sorry, my attitude is my responsibility. And joy is your choice. You can choose joy or you can choose to be miserable. And so I hope that during this series, a lot of you are saying, I choose joy. I choose joy. And today I'm going to talk to you about something very important. I'm going to talk to you about the difference between people who energize and people who drain. The difference between people who energize and people who drain. Now, I'm going to ask the tech team to help me out here. Do we have a battery? Can someone bring me a battery back there? Many of you know that most appliances and flashlights operate on a battery. And how many of you have ever had the experience when you really need a flashlight, the lights go out, there's a storm, you try to find, thank you, Steve, you try to find a battery and or try to find a flashlight and you click it on and you have this faint little dim light. Right when you need it, it's dim. And if the light is dim, you automatically say what? It needs new batteries. Why? Because the energy source for that flashlight is the battery. And if the flashlight has been on a long time, then the batteries drain. Some of you are like me. I keep my flashlight in a certain place, but my kids love to play with flashlights. So every time the lights go out or something happens, I go to that familiar place where the flashlight is, and it's never there in a time of crisis. But a battery will energize something, and when a battery is drained, it will barely work. Now, modern-day batteries, oftentimes like this, we can put them in chargers. And a charger re-energizes the battery so that this portable form of power and energy can continue to work. Your life and my life are like batteries. Sometimes we energize people around us, and sometimes we're the source of draining people around us. Have you ever been around someone that just a half hour with them, I mean, it just energizes you. Your faith is revived. You're encouraged. You find strength for living. You're around them and you leave them saying, wow, I feel better already, because they're an energizer. They're someone that exudes spiritual energy, and they encourage you and lift you up, and you feel refreshed after being around them. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Just nod at me. And then how many of you have been around the drainers? You know, it's just 10 minutes in a conversation with them, and you say, I need a double espresso latte because I am so drained. I mean, they sap all the energy out of me. Now, it depends on what we're going through. Sometimes you're going through a tough time and you're a drainer. Sometimes you're encouraged and you're an energizer. But I want to say that some of us need to develop the pattern of being energizers as opposed to being drainers. And as we look at Philippians chapter 2, I believe the Apostle Paul is giving us example of two individuals that were energizing individuals. Now, in chapter 2, the Apostle Paul, the beginning of chapter 2, he's talked to us about the attitude that should be inside of us. In the first verses of chapter 2, he's talked to us about the attitude that was in Christ Jesus. You remember that? Who, although being in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But he says, have this attitude in you. What attitude? The attitude that Jesus had, who made himself in the form of a servant and did not want to be served, but came and humbled himself and became obedient even to the death of the cross. And then in chapter 2, last week we saw how he went on to tell us, hey, if you're going to have this attitude, then you're not going to be murmurers and complainers. Remember, we're not the Eeyores. We are encouragers. We speak positive because we see what God is doing. We don't murmur and complain, and therefore we shine as lights in the world. And now in the last few verses of this chapter, the Apostle Paul turns his attention to give us two examples of energizing people. And so this morning, you and I are going to learn what it means to be an energizing individual, the characteristics of people who energize. We're going to begin reading in verse 19, and I'm going to give you the first characteristic of people that energize. Energizing people are builders rather than breakers. Look at what it says in verse 19. The Apostle Paul says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interest and not for those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope therefore to send him soon, as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. Now, the Apostle Paul has just told us about Jesus and the attitude that was in Jesus. Now, how many of you know sometimes when Jesus is used as an illustration or an example, we say, yeah, but he was Jesus. I'm not Jesus. I mean, he was the Son of God. He's too high up there. The Apostle Paul brings it a little bit down to where we live, and he introduces us to two individuals, Timothy and Epaphroditus. You say Epaphra who? Epaphroditus. These are two individuals that most people don't know a lot about. It's not like Peter or Paul or Timothy. Timothy's a person that's not very well known. He's not a Peter. He's not an Andrew. He's not one of the 12 disciples. He's not a Joseph and a Mary. He's not a Moses. Who is this guy, Timothy? Well, Paul introduces Timothy and he says, I hope to, in the Lord Jesus, to send Timothy to you soon. You say, well, who is Timothy? Well, if we look in the New Testament, we'll discover that Timothy, he's first mentioned in Acts chapter 16. That's where the Apostle Paul actually went to the place of Philippi to start the church of Philippi. Timothy was a young man whose grandmother's name was Lois and whose mother's name was Eunice. And they both had a strong faith that they passed down to young Timothy. Now, his father was Greek and was most likely not a believer. So we know that Timothy was not Jewish because he had to be circumcised at the beginning of the travels with the Apostle Paul. So we know that Timothy was raised in a home where his mom believed, but his dad didn't. Now, we know that he wasn't the first generation because his grandmother had faith and his mother had faith, and they had passed that faith down to Timothy. Let me tell you, mothers, never give up on your children. Never. Because there's something about a praying mother, a praying grandmother, I think that reaches the heart of God like almost nothing else can reach the heart of God. When you say, I'm going to hang in there, and maybe teachers have given up on him, and maybe friends have given up on him, and maybe his dad has given up on him, but you know what? I'm not going to give up. I will pray through until God does something in his life, even if he's 45 years old when God does it, but I'm going to pray through. Some of you are here in this auditorium today because you had a mother that did not give up on you. She kept praying when everybody else said, forget about him, he'll never make it. But she kept praying. So Timothy had two godly women in his life influencing his life. Now Timothy's also pretty important because Paul actually wrote two letters in the Bible, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, to his protege. Most books of the Bible are written to individuals, to groups of people. But this was written to Timothy. It's like the older mentor speaking to the younger mentor. And if you really want to know about ministry and how to grow up and have a heart of God to minister, read 1 and 2 Timothy. In fact, one of the last letters that Paul wrote was 2 Timothy. And it was written to this young Timothy. Paul was about to be executed, and he's given his last words to his young spiritual son that he really loves. The last mention that we find in the Bible about Timothy is found in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 23, and we find that Timothy is actually just getting out of prison. For what? For preaching the gospel. Just like Paul was in prison, Timothy lived so strongly that he also was put in prison. You say, hey, well, what was Timothy like? I love this about Timothy, because he was the exact opposite almost of Paul.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message called The Difference Between People Who Energize and Drain, which is from our series called Joy is a Choice. Straight Talk is the radio ministry of New Life Community Church in Chicago, where Pastor Mark is the senior pastor. At the end of today's program, I'll tell you more about New Life, Pastor Mark, and how you can get a free copy of this message. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 19 through 30. Pastor Mark's message, the difference between people who energize and drain.
Paul was this type A personality, go get him. I'm in charge. He's a leader. No matter what, he's going to do it. He was educated almost like a lawyer. He was a strong, fierce, diehard, I will do it no matter what. A strong sense of purpose and call. Timothy was almost the exact opposite. The Bible tells us that Timothy was sickly. He had stomach ailments. He was the kind of guy that, how you doing? Oh, my stomach isn't feeling too good today. How was the meal, Timothy? You know what? It's kind of upset. And it's that Paul tells him, hey, Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach's sake. Why? And back in those days, water had a lot of bacteria and pollutants in it. I traveled to Africa this summer, and they told me before I went, one thing you always remember, don't drink the water. Why? because water has a lot of pollutants and bacteria and so forth, and you get sick. And so Paul told Timothy, hey, you're sick all the time. Take a little wine for your stomach's sake. He was sick a lot. The other and we find that in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23. We also find out that he was young. In fact, 1 Timothy was written 15 years after Paul had met Timothy, and he still talks to him about being young. So Paul may have met Timothy when he was just a teenager. And he had a tendency to be shy and not very confident. In fact, that verse, God hasn't given you a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline, was written to Timothy. Paul's the one that said, hey, stir up the gifts inside of you. Hey, don't let anybody look down at your youth. Hey, don't worry. You're young, but rise up. Be the leader. God has a call upon your life. So he was sickly. He was shy. He was a little bit insecure. I'd be asking myself this question. Paul, why did you choose him? Why Timothy? You see, I believe that Paul chose Timothy because he saw something in Timothy. He saw a heart after God. You see, sometimes we have the wrong vision of a leader. We think they have to be self-confident, highly educated, well-organized, never doubting themselves, but God will choose sometimes very unlikely vessels to lead. How about it? God chooses the weak things in the world to despise the strong. God chooses those things are not to bring to naught those things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. So maybe you're sitting here this morning saying, you know what? Boy, I could never do anything for God because I'm not like that person, or I'm not like Pastor Mike, or I'm not like Pastor Dwayne, and I'm just me. Guess what? God loves who you are and wants to use just you. What he's looking for is hearts that are yielded. Amen? So, Paul begins to talk about Timothy, and notice what he says. He says, I want to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. Now, where is Paul sending Timothy? He's sending Timothy back to Philippi. Remember, where was Paul at this time? He was under house arrest in Rome, right? He was sending Timothy back to Philippi. You know how far Rome was from Philippi? 800 miles. You know how long that trip would take? 6 weeks. So he's not saying, hey, I'm going to send you around the corner, you'll be back tomorrow. No, this took 6 weeks to get there, 6 weeks back, a couple of weeks there. And he says, I want to send Timothy to you. Why? Because I want to hear news about you. This was before email and cell phones and just regular mail. You had to send someone to find out. And Paul was worried about the Philippians. And he said, I want to know how you're doing. I want to be encouraged about how you're doing. But he says this, listen, verse 20. Now he describes the character of Timothy. And from the character of Timothy, we discover what a builder is, not a breaker. I believe energizing people, they can be shy, but they're still builders. Listen to what he says. He says, I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. Some of your Bibles may say, I have no one of a kindred spirit. The first point I want to make is that he had a kindred spirit with Paul. This word kindred spirit is very interesting in the Greek, because there's actually two words that are used to form one word. The word isos means equal. The word suche means soul. I have no one else that has an equal soul. In other words, I have no one else that has the same kind of soul with me. We're kind of partners here. We have a kindred spirit. We think alike. We feel alike. Why? I've invested in this guy. I know how he functions. And Paul is saying, I have a brother here. I have someone that really understands, someone that's a soulmate spiritually. Let me tell you, we all need soulmates, don't we? And I'm not just talking about the person that you married, but we all need friends, people of a kindred spirit, people that know how we think and feel, and people that can walk along beside of us to encourage us. Look at what it says in Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10. Two are better than one. If one falls, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. We all need those people that we connect with in our soul, those energizers, those people who care about us, those people who have a friendship with us. And look what the Apostle Paul says. He says, I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. The second thing I see about Timothy is that he genuinely cares for people. Now, this word genuine means that it's not fake. Timothy wasn't the kind that would say, so how you doing, and then move on. When he said, how you doing, he really wanted to know, how are you doing? He wasn't playing the politician. He wasn't saying, hi, how you doing, and just moving on. He cared about people. Here's the sad thing. Paul says, hey, it's hard to find people that really care. I mean, Timothy cares. He cares about people. He's genuinely concerned in your welfare. And how is it going with you? He's not fake. He cares about your state and your soul and what's going on. Listen, people that are energizers, they care. I mean, you know that there's a lot of power when someone cares. Let me tell you something about this. If you've been living in God for a while and you're a believer, you should care. Hey, when we come to God, it's all about us. How about it? It's all about our needs. It's all about me. But when we come to Christ, there's something that the Spirit of God does inside of us and starts to turn us around so that suddenly we start to care about other people. You see, that's the work of Christ. The Bible says that if the way that people know that we are believers is by our love, that we actually start caring. Man, the more you walk in God, the more you should care. If you've been in God for a while, you should start feeling that your heart's getting soft. So things and people you could care less about before, now suddenly you're interested in. You care about. I found that in my life. The more, hey, in our flesh, in the natural, we're selfish. How about it? Our tendency in our natural flesh is to be selfish, is to be self-centered. But the more we walk with God, the more he takes our focus off of ourselves onto God, and when our focus is on God, we start caring about people. You start caring about the person that's sitting next to you. Not only the one right beside you, but the one behind you, the one in front of you, the one over there. You start caring about people. Why? It's the Spirit of God causing you to break down the heart and start to care. So if you've been a believer for a while, guess what? If you don't care about people, and you don't care about how people are doing, and you don't care about anybody besides yourself, then you need to get on your knees, repent, ask God to break your heart, because God cares about people, and if God cares, you should care too. And so he says, hey, I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about an encourager. People that care are encouragers. They're energizers. I have a file at home in my file drawer, amongst a lot of other files. And this file is a unique file. It's got one word on top of it. It's called encouragement notes. And periodically when people send me a note of encouragement, or my kids write one, or I get a note of someone that's been touched and really changed or transformed and really genuinely expressing it, I take that note and I put it in that file. You know why? Because it energizes me. And once in a while, periodically, if I'm down and out about something or feel like, hey, everybody's against me, leaders go through that, you know, sometimes. Well, they'll have one person that will really bash them or criticize. I pull out that file. Kind of go through the notes. Just a reminder. Wow, okay, God. There's something about encouragement. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Something about encouragement that lifts you up. I read recently that a fellow wrote a book about youth. It's called Youth Builder. His name is Jim Burns. He talks about the importance of building up young people with affirmation and trust. And what he says about criticism applies to every age group. And he says this: for every critical comment we receive, it takes 9 affirming comments to even out the negative effect.
This was Pastor Mark with the first half of his message called The Difference Between People Who Energize and Drain, which is from his current series called Joy is a Choice. Before you go, we invite you to download our free Straight Talk app at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you can download this evening's message for free and find a link to our New Life Community Church ministry page where you can browse the ministry of Pastor Mark Jobe. You'll also find a Bible app and over 400 other messages that we think will definitely encourage you. If you have any questions about our program or just need some prayer, you can call our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team, we thank you for listening. Please do tune in again for another edition of Straight Talk, and have a great evening. God bless.